Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Access Astrology on Blog Talk Radio. We are three astrologers who get together and talk about what's going on in the sky and how that's reflected on the earth. And here we are in the middle of August. This is Mark Wall speaking to you from New York City. And I'm joined by my colleague,
Ann Ortley, and I'm also from New York City at the Bright Red Desk.
Good.
And we're waiting for Heather, who should be calling us from, and there she is.
Philadelphia today.
She doesn't have her hand raised, but I can pick her up. Heather, you there? Heather? Is that you? Nope, I guess not. I got confused. Nope, okay.
Okay. Anyway, she should be calling
in. Skype that called in, huh? 111111. I don't know if that's Heather or not. Yeah, she's supposed to be calling in, so we should have Heather coming soon. I'm waiting for her on a 612-615 number. So
she is waiting for us to join her in Philadelphia for the National Conference, National Council on Geocosmic Research. What is geocosmic research? It's astrology.
Astrology, right. It's kind of like one of those names you go, what's the name of the organization?
Right.
Geocosmic research.
Whoa.
Earth heaven research. Yeah.
Right.
So it's the annual, it's not the annual, it's the every 3 year, 4 year conference.
Right.
It's this year in Philadelphia. So anybody in the Philadelphia area, close by New York City, you can hop a quick train, Jersey Transport, $15 each way, down to Philly and go to the conference Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And Heather's there already because she's the chapter president for Minnesota. And I'm going down tomorrow, and you're coming down Friday, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's the Access Astrology will be in Philly. Rendezvous. And what we do here on the radio show is we talk about the heavens, what's going on. Why would they have a conference this weekend? Because actually this weekend has fabulous aspects.
Yeah,
so if you've got something planned, you know, it's really good. So, Mark, what do you notice about the heavens right now?
Well, let's see. we have this wonderful trine in water signs, but it's starting to break up. Jupiter's moving out of it. And so there's just a touch of it at the moment. And what else? We have Venus going into Libra.
Venus going into Libra for 26 days.
Yep.
This Friday. And what she's going to do is, you know, relationships have really kind of been taking it a little bit on the chin lately. People have been a little more edgy, crabby, cranky, not feeling the love so much. And so when Venus goes into Libra, which is one of her favorite signs, she's kind and gentle and loving and caring, and she's not nearly as critical, carping, and difficult as Venus in Virgo can be on a bad day. Now, Venus in Virgo on a good day is great if you're a body trainer, a bodybuilder, you know, because you're going to tell one more sit-up, you know, do it again. But it's hard sometimes in relationships because she wants to improve partner all the time, and usually people kind of are like, you know, stuff it already. Stop trying to improve me. Go improve yourself and, you know,
right,
or go take it somewhere else. Pardon?
That's where Venus shines, is when she remembers, when that part of us remembers to, in fact, improve the self. And say, what can I bring to the partnership, and keep the focus on what I'm bringing and make that better and better and richer and richer.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's a happy Venus in Virgo, and it's a happy relationship. But when Venus in Virgo looks too much toward what am I not getting from my partner?
Or what is my partner doing wrong and needs to fix?
You
know, you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right. That critical Virgo, which is she's been in the last couple of weeks. So we've all been feeling maybe a little more criticized than we want to be by our beloveds. But that's okay, you know, that's part of there's a reason for every sign. And Venus in Virgo is discriminating, you know. She looks and she says, because she's in charge of the harvest, she goes, these tomatoes are too ripe. And, okay, so we'll make salsa out of them. These tomatoes are not ripe enough, so we'll leave them on the vine a little longer. So she's got a whole focus in the assessment skills. It's really important. She's Simon Cowell, you know, when he is, no, I don't think so, dear. You know, that's Simon, you know. And, of course, he is in the news for being pregnant or being named as an adulterer in a divorce case. But, you know, is Venus in Virgo a little thin-skinned, too, right?
So
it is a thin-skinned sign. But she shifts on Friday, so she'll be much happier and much nicer and more pleasant. Right? And we also have a finger of God this week, today, tomorrow.
That's right.
Yesterday.
Yeah, asking with us Mercury, right?
With Mercury, yeah. Mercury squaring the nodes of fate. So he's asking us to make fated choices around the direction of our life and where we want to go and what we want to do. And he's asking us how we want to evolve and change or not. We don't always have to evolve and change. We can pass. We can say, no, you can't make me and I'm not going to. Of course, that generally tends to make the heavens bear down on us a little harder because we are supposed to evolve and change. But the opportunity is being presented to us now. What is it we really want to do and how do we want to change? So when you see Mercury squaring the nose, what do you advise your clients to do, Mark?
Well, there's...
Or any planet squaring the nose. Yeah.
Yeah, any planet squaring the nose means that we're sort of torn what direction to go. We feel we have to do something that involves our growth. And there is a choice. And sometimes it's a really big temptation to not grow at all and just sort of take the easy road. And other times we feel sort of driven to take on the hard road. And we usually don't like the feeling of that either because it seems like we're having to do more than we really want to sign up for. But like that's the deal. That's what's on offer. So either roll up your sleeves and really work hard and know that it'll be to your advantage eventually, but not that much fun right now. Or, you know, the other one is just let it slide. And whatever planet that is that's squaring the nodes, those are the issues. So with Mercury, it's about how we communicate and what it is that we're sharing with others through our mind. And so our mind is meant to be active. It's meant to move us forward. We're meant to learn something. We're meant to pass along things that we've learned. We're meant to be in dialogue. And that dialogue, it can either just be kind of, it's just reminded, there's an expression in Indonesian language called omong kosong. And it translates literally as empty talk. Mercury square the nose, part of us is tempted to just spend a whole lot of time in empty talk. Just blah, 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 blah. And the other part says, you know, let's see what we can think of that's different, something new, something we have to a little bit work at, try to get a concept conveyed that's not easy, something I'm thinking about, but it's hard for me to get that through to someone else, and let me take that on. So, you know, it's either way, it's not exactly what we want to be doing. The one seems too light, and the other seems too heavy.
Right.
You know, there you have it. There's not an in-between when you're squaring the nose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's one or the other. I like that phrase, empty talk. What's it called again?
Omong kosong.
Omong kosong.
Yep. Okay. Omong is just blah, blah, blah. Kosong is empty. So
empty blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, empty.
I like that.
Talking
empty
away,
blah,
talking
blah,
away.
Blah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, you know, and I know that. Yeah. Then the end of the week, busy week, Venus goes into Libra on Friday, but we also have the nodes being accessed and trined by Jupiter. Now, Jupiter's breaking up, as Mark mentioned earlier. He's starting to pull away. Still an orb, but he's pulling away. He's finished his work. Last week he opposed Pluto. Some of you, that really kind of hit hard. Some others of you, you went, woohoo, I'm done, you know, I'm breaking free. And, you know, Jupiter-Pluto is a big, big shift, you know, because Jupiter's abundance and Pluto's transformation and the two of them playing together could have been a big shift one way or the other. up or down. The next thing that happens is Jupiter now aspects the nodes. So he's going to trine the North Node in Scorpio, which, of course, the North Node is where we're heading. And the North Node in Scorpio says we're heading towards transformation. That's our purpose under this transit, or under, you know, with nodes in Scorpio. It says go from what you owned and had and built and developed, South Node in Taurus, release it. Use it as a stepping stone to get you to transformation. Understand how to transform based on what you've built in your life up until now. North Node coming to trine Jupiter is a very powerful trine. Doesn't happen that often. Unfortunately, I did not look up and see how often it happens, but it's going to be every 12 years or so, I would think. Every 12 years. But it also is coming off of that grand trine in water, and there was the Star of David, too. So that Jupiter in Cancer is fully loaded. Kind of think of it as a giant river. And I'm always reminded of Jupiter in Cancer, of the river that Hercules used to clean out that stall with 1,000 horses that had been pooping for 1,000 years or whatever, and he just re-diverted the river and cleaned it out. So you're going to have a river of energy flying into that north node of transformation on Friday. So that's one of the reasons NCGR, I think, picked this weekend, because it's actually a lovely aspect, Jupiter trine the nodes of fate, saying we're going towards transforming. We're sending a lot of emotional energy towards the transformation vision, the idea of transformation. And I was up in Lilydale this last week and took a workshop on, I don't even know what I would properly call it, but one of the things that the person focused on was focusing on creating joy and love and using that creation energy of joy and love to send energy out. And that when little kids play and they're really, really in the flow, they're just like really happy. And they're like, oh, I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm so happy. And in that moment, that's a profound creative energy because it's full of joy and love. And that Jupiter, of course, the planet of abundance, coming in and flowing a bunch of energy towards the creation nodes over the next few days, really think positively and abundantly and joyfully about what is the energy you want to send into that node to create with. Because it's a big old whopper aspect, and it also is about the joy, about the abundance, about the vision, and the dream of creation. And Jupiter in water, in Cancer, think about it, Cancer is the growing sign, and Jupiter, of course, is the big sign. So this is like those people that grow those really big tomatoes or those really big pumpkins. This is one of those things you're working on here. So you really want to send a lot of really positive energy as we go towards this weekend into that node of fate and say, this is my dream, this is my vision. Mark came up with a great idea, which we'll talk about more once we get a little more finalized. Last week, he was talking to his wife. She suggested something brilliant, and Heather and I both went, wow, what a great idea, right? So, it's like, what a great idea. You know, let's expand, let's grow, So Cancer wants everything to grow and be bigger and more abundant and more available, more juicy, you know. So that's this week. And of course, Jupiter, when he goes into Cancer, he's in Cancer, but when he goes in, he does this, that's when the moon's in Sagittarius. Again, an abundant moon with a closing aspect of a trine to the sun in its rulership, the best place the sun can be. So this is a really, really juicy weekend around creation energy, around the vision of what can happen. So I'm really looking forward to it myself.
Good. Yeah.
And anything you want to add to that? Because I got a little carried away there.
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
Okay.
That's all I need.
That's all you need. Creation. All right, so if you want us to call on you, let me think what else. Oh, next week on Tuesday, because the show moved to Wednesday, and it occurred to me we ought to start talking about Monday, Tuesday next week, too. You know, the next week, because, you know, we do it on Wednesday, and we kind of go through Sunday, and then we stop. And I thought, we should really adjust. There's a full moon.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's like, we should really change the format. There's a full moon on Tuesday, the 20th, at 28 Aquarius, okay? And that full moon is tied back to the new moon that took place in Aquarius, February of 2012. And so that energy is the new moon. And then there was a opening quarter in Scorpio time of last year, 2012, in November. And then there now is the full moon, where we're really seeing the ripeness of it. So that's going to take place next week on the 20th. So the story from February of 2011 ripens. So that's the other thing that happens this week. Libra going into this, Venus going into Libra, Mercury squaring the nodes and asking us to make a choice, Jupiter dumping an enormous amount of energy into the north node of fate, and the full moon. So, and full moons always are opportunities for us to see things because there's an opportunity to integrate. You want to talk a little bit about that, Mark, the integration of the full moon and how that works?
Well, it's, you know, if you look at the sky, you realize that the full moon is the complete reflection of the sun by the moon back to the earth. So the moon is picking up all the rays of the sun and shining them as big as it can back to us. And that is the full expression of whatever began when the moon was by the sun. And we didn't see the face of the moon because it reflected back just to the sun, and we were on the other side of it. So whatever energy started then with the lineup of sun and moon, their energies were lined up together, aimed at us, but we don't see the moon, then we begin to see the moon as it waxes and moves halfway around and is opposite the sun in our sky, and we get the full moon. So that's the full expression of whatever started. And now with the sun in Leo, that means that the moon is in Aquarius when the moon goes full. So we have an Aquarius full moon. And that happens each year at this time. We get a full moon in Aquarius. And so it's a Leo sun, and it's an Aquarius expression. So we're feeling the full expression of whatever started in Leo now coming back through Aquarius, which is that air sign, so it's mental, and it's fixed, so there's kind of a dry mental analytical quality to it, and a sense of really a reckoning of what was created and how big it can get and how big it is. So we're very much aware of what we've created and what now is shining through the rays of the moon, which are really the rays of the sun, mirrored back to us.
And that reflection then allows us to really take action around what our ego wants, because the sun is the ego, and what our emotions need, which is the moon, our passion, and our deepest way of nurturing ourselves. So it's very profound. Full moon, and you have a new one. You have a new and a full moon every month, and they happen in the course of the year in each of your charts. So look at where the Aquarius moon is falling in your chart, and look at where the Leo sun is, and see how those two planets are talking to each other as we go approach it. Because the moon this week is in Sag the back half of the week, and then it'll be in Capricorn over the weekend. And then it'll be in Aquarius. And then when we talk to you next again on the 21st, the moon will be in Pisces. All right, mm-hmm. So let's take some callers.
Good.
All right. Hi, 661-748. You're on the air. You there? Hello.
Hello. Hi, I'm here. Hi, can you guys hear me?
Huh? Yes, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah. Hi, we can hear you.
Hi, it's Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi,
how are you?
Pretty good. I'm calling in from Malaysia, and just now when Mark was saying Om Mong Kosong, it's Malay or Indonesian, right?
Right.
Like, yeah, interesting.
Good. Okay.
Well, I'm actually calling in because it's like I would like to ask you guys if you could do a read for me. Basically, I'm kind of in a long-distance relationship, and it's been a bit tricky, but I think we're both working on stuff. He's in France, and he's supposed to come over to Malaysia in October, but we just haven't really been communicating. And natally, he has Uranus, Venus, and Scorpio conjunct, and a Sagittarius moon, and I have a Virgo moon, and it makes me anxious sometimes. And I'm not sure, like, whether things would work out or not, and what I should be focusing on, and things like that.
Okay. Well, with the Virgo moon, you're always going to worry. That's part of how Virgo works. And so the last couple weeks with Venus being in Virgo has triggered that moon, right? And how is it going to work out? How is it going to turn out? His Sagittarius moon likes the freedom. And Sag moons like foreign, too. They like, you know, relationships that have a lot of space and a lot of openness. Your Virgo moon is a little more wants the bunny, you know, cooking the bread, wants to settle down, a little more needing the solid. So, but Virgo moons can do well with solitary, you know, relationships where they're alone for part of the time. I often think of the song, there was a song in the old days called Brandy, You're a Fine Woman, What a Good Wife You Would Be, But My Love is the Ocean and the Sea. So Sags have trouble committing until they're in their mid-40s, Sag moons generally. And it's a freedom-loving moon. So, you know, part of the Virgo piece of your chart is going to worry, is it enough? And the moons square each other. So sometimes when moons square each other, it's very attractive and very hot, but the emotional needs can be hard to meet. You know, if we're just looking at the moons, like which, how they work. So I would say, try it. You know, just, you know, you like the guy, see how it goes. But because your moon really needs like a fireplace and some bread and a bunny and, you know, kind of a comfort energy, and his moon needs to wander, unless you have a lot of wandering energy in your chart, where your chart really wants to travel. Huh? Pardon?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm a Gemini sun, and it's opposed to Uranus, and I have North Node in the ninth house in Cancer. I like traveling a lot. I would like to travel a lot and with him, but I don't know.
Okay, well, yeah, Mark, what do you want to say?
Yeah, you have to make sure that that's working. One of the things for the Virgo moon is that it's hard for you to express it, but you actually want to be appreciated. And so have a look at the relationship and make sure that you're feeling that. And if you're not feeling it, you might have to ask for it a little bit. And, you know, because the Virgo moon it wants to give, but not never be noticed, you know. And it doesn't need a big deal made over what it contributes. But it does want that appreciation. So make sure as you go along that some of that Sagittarius fire is appreciative of you. Otherwise, you'll feel like you're just giving and giving and giving, and it's not being reciprocated. So you have to feel something coming back, and then you give all the more. So look for that.
And the Gemini moon also has, you know, a natural relationship to his Sagittarius planets, because they're oppositions. Fire and air feed each other, right? The, you know, the Earth moon's is an Earth moon, so it kind of looks at the fire and air planets and goes, ooh. And so you have to understand that the fire and the air want to play together, but the Earth worries. So does he have anything in Earth or water that helps your moon feel calm?
Yeah, he has some. He has his Mercury. We have his Mercury, and my moon are almost conjunct. He has Mercury in Virgo, and he has Pluto Sun and Libra in the fourth house, and his North Node and Venus and Uranus are in Scorpio in the fourth house as well. So I'm kind of counting on the Libra.
Count on the Libra and count on the Scorpio, because the Scorpio is going to form a nice aspect to the moon, because it makes mud, right? So you have to kind of recognize there's this fiery air attitude, and then there's the earth and water part. So when your moon's feeling nervous, you want to kind of have it hang out with the Scorpio stuff and with his Mercury. And the Mercury is real important because that's, you know, his Mercury in Virgo can talk to that moon. And that will, of course, your Gemini sun needs a man who can talk, needs a man who can express his feelings, because Gemini is a communicating sign, and you feel connected when someone talks to you. So his Mercury on your moon is very helpful because that's going to make your moon feel grounded. So he just has to say to you, I'm coming on this day, and this is what we're going to do. Of course, the Sag parts of him can be a little, you know, non-committal, but
yes,
the Libra part of him really wants a relationship. So he's got the conflict in his chart the same as you do. So it's good. You can kind of, you know, hopefully your on fire air works at the same time and your water earth works at the same time, and then the two charts can connect. Mark, you want to pipe in and add something?
Yeah. Pretty much that's, I think, what you need to know. And then just know that for you, the fire and air can get too dry.
Yeah.
So really concentrate on water and earth, and realize that that's what grounds you, and that you need that. And if you feel like the relationship and the activities that you're sharing in the relationship are getting too dry, too mental, too busy, then calm it down, slow it down, and do something that feels nice, emotional.
Right.
Let that be created.
Now, the interesting part, in September and October, we're going to have Mars and fire, right? So that will come nicely into his Libra and his Sag planets, and that will come nicely into your air stuff. So Mars and fire in September and October is Leo, and it also speaks to, you know, taking action, Leo, around the things our hearts desire. Because Leo is going to look at the sun and say, what does the heart really need? What does the ego really need to express itself? And the Mars is going to be acting for our egos once we get out of Cancer, which is on the 27th of August. So right now, Mars is in Cancer, and everybody's a little bit kind of, depending on the day, depending on the moon, they're in a good mood or not. Now, the moon went into Leo. You know, it's been in Scorpio, a little paranoid the last couple days, right? Because Scorpio is a little more paranoid and also more secretive and quiet, so he may have been disappeared. Now it's going into Sag tonight as of 9 o'clock, and it'll be in Sag for the next couple days. So I would contact him or, you know, reconnect with him, you know, today, tomorrow really more because he's in France or wherever he is, and early in the morning on the 16th, you know, in early part of the day, because that energy's got a lot about wanting to connect into fire, and that'll make your air sign feel better, and it'll make his moon kind of activated, and, you know, kind of, you know, watch where the moon is while Mars is in Cancer, because every couple days our ability to act or our sense of how we feel can really shift, and it's a little hard sometimes because Mars is changing his mind every couple days. Once he gets into Leo, he's very direct. He's Virgo for 6 months, or for 6 weeks, 5 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever, 30 days, and then he's Libra for 30 days. So he's about working hard, and then he's about partnership. So he's got a lot of energy around, you know, how he shows up. So does that help, Melissa?
Wow, thank you, guys. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Good luck. Have,
thank
keep,
you.
Keep your fingers crossed, and get that little Virgo moon. Give her something to clean, okay? That makes
okay.
her happy, and it calms her down, you know?
I will.
Okay. All right. And the British lady said 90 seconds. Anything else you want to add, Mark, before we hang up?
No, just if you're near Philadelphia, stop in and see us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come to Philly and stop in and see us. And for the Access Astrology people, we will not be meeting next Tuesday at the church. And I'll send the note out early and remind everybody, and then I'll send it out right before the meeting saying, reminder, no meeting. So we'll be off
right.
from Access Astrology next Tuesday. And we're in Philly this weekend, so it's definitely worth coming down. It's at the DoubleTree Hilton. It's a great conference. If you've never been to one, it's like all these people talking your language, singing and dancing astrology all over the place, which is much fun.
Great.
And a lot of really interesting speakers and speeches. So.
Okay. Thanks for tuning in. Access Astrology, Mark Waltz, New York City, and also in New York is
Ann Ortley, New York City, at my bright red desk.
Okay.
And Heather didn't make it. I'm assuming she's partying somewhere in Philadelphia.
Okay.
So we'll talk to you all. We'll talk to you all next week. All right.
Good.
Take care, folks.
Bye.
Bye.